20. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, who also leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? The bosom, the breast of Jesus. Now, Isaiah 40. Verse 9. O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up on a high mountain. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come as a mighty one, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. And Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 12. And Moses spake unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left. Verse 14. And the wave breast and the heave thigh shall ye eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee. For they are given as thy portion, and thy son's portion, out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the children of Israel. Let us speak to God again in prayer. And Father, indeed, thy word is light, thy word is truth. Let us know that we have learned, we have experienced what thy son said about thy word, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. We have learned this as thy children, and we desire more of the words out of thy mouth, because by these words we live. We have read many portions. Explain them to us by thy spirit. Prepare hearts and lips, and cleanse us from our sins because we confess them. Thou hast told us you will be faithful and just to do this. We look to you for a good hour this night. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What good is it to know about the Father's bosom in which Christ was before the foundation of the world? What good is it to know about Abraham's bosom, into which we are unable to enter until after we leave this world and go into the next? Well, as I think about the Father's bosom and Christ in it, I'm deeply moved, and that is good. And as I think of Abraham's bosom, when I leave this world and go into the next, I'm filled with hope. But what I want is the experience of Jesus' bosom, because, amazing as it may seem, the two bosoms, the Father's and Abraham's, are not in this world at all. They are in a past eternity, and they are in the world into which we shall enter when we leave this one. You say, well, that's rather ethereal. Not of this world at all, no. And yet, there is consolation, there is strengthening, knowing of these bosoms, but I am not dead as yet, and I cannot transport myself back into eternity. And so what I want to experience is the bosom of Jesus as John, the beloved disciple, experienced in that upper room. That's what's essential for today. But the funny thing is this. Where is Jesus now? You say, well, the disciples were led by Jesus as far as Bethany, and they saw him taken up into heaven. And Mark tells us that he sat down at the right hand of God. Well then, we can't get back to the Father's bosom in eternity, and we don't want to precipitately die to get into Abraham's bosom, and the Lord Jesus is in heaven now, so what is left? Well, it's this way. There are no physical enjoyments of the bosom of Jesus, as John did, but there is that spiritual enjoyment of the bosom of the Savior as much now as there was in John's day when our Savior was on earth during the days of his flesh. But there was a way then to enjoy the bosom of Jesus when the Savior told the disciples where the Passover was to be kept. When he invited them to the table, had them to sit down, that was the only way they could ever enjoy the bosom of Jesus at that time. If they did not come to the meeting, the supper where Jesus was, there was no enjoyment of the bosom of Jesus. And if they were as Judas Iscariot, even though they were there with him, there was no enjoyment of the bosom of Jesus. But if they were there, and if there was that mutual love, then they could enjoy the bosom of Jesus. And for that reason, we have the ability now in a spiritual way to enjoy the bosom of Jesus as much as John enjoyed the bosom of Jesus in his own day. But it's something that must be entered to in a spiritual way, just as I told you there was a physical way that the disciples must climb those stairs to the upper room, sit down next to Jesus, be in a right condition of heart before they could enjoy the bosom of Jesus. They had to go through those conditions and then they could enjoy it. And in like manner, the bosom of Jesus is still available today in a spiritual way, but you have to know how to get to it and enter into it this way. You remember it says in Hebrews 13, let us therefore offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. The sacrifice of praise to God continually, this is the continual burnt offering. And I know how to offer the continual burnt offering according to Exodus 29, but now according to Hebrews 13, I also know how to offer up the continual burnt offering. You take the physical and you translate it into the spiritual. And so in like manner, how we enjoy the bosom of Jesus today is in a spiritual way by entering into the truth, the reality of these promises that God has given us in his words, making them our own. And then I can assure you that in our heart there can be the joy and the love and the communion with the Lord Jesus as much in his absence as when he was on earth. It's like this. Cleopas and his companion were walking along with the Lord Jesus. They knew not who he was. But as he spoke to them, they said, our heart was burning within us. The words of Jesus spoken to them caused their hearts to burn within them. And now what the Savior has left behind is his word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we have the Father's words, and we have the Son's words. And as the Son's words taken in, and comprehended, and understood, and believed, then the hearts of Cleopas and his companion burns within them. And I promise you that today, the words of Jesus spoken in our heart by the written word, made real by the Spirit of God, and by faith appropriated, will bring the same joy to our hearts today as joy was brought to the heart of John in Christ's day. Listen to some verses of Scripture. This is what Jeremiah said. He says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Notice, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, because I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Here are God's words. They are found. They are eaten. And Jeremiah's heart rejoices because those words have told him that he belongs to the Lord God of hosts. And Job says, I have esteemed thy word more than my necessary food. And in Psalm 119, the psalmist says that the words of God are his inheritance. They are the rejoicing of his heart. So, those who did not live in Christ's day, they also had this rejoicing from the words that God has spoken, and now God has recorded in his word. And what we do today is, instead of the physical bosom of Jesus being ours to lean upon, all that is symbolized by the bosom of Jesus physically, we appropriate to ourselves spiritually. I told you the bosom of Jesus is love and intimate communion. Other things as well, but the bosom of Jesus in John 13 and in John chapter 1, both the Son and the Father's bosom and John and Jesus' bosom are love and intimate communion, because the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared it. Why is he able to declare the Father? Because of the intimate communion that exists between them. And the Lord Jesus said, Father, you love me before the foundation of the world. In the bosom of the Father, he loved the Son. There was communication between the Father and the only begotten Son. And then the Son came forth and declared the Father, revealed him unto men. And then that intimate conversation and communion, I told you that John turned to Jesus and said, who is going to betray you? And the Lord Jesus answered him, those that are at a distance could not hear. And those whose ears were stopped, they could not hear. But one close to Jesus, one who could speak to Jesus and ask, and Jesus would respond, because God said, come, call unto me, and I will not answer. But those who are near to Jesus, and whom Jesus loved, when they speak to him, then Jesus tells them, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant, and the Lord knows those that are his. And the important thing is this. I'm talking about our love for Jesus. But in John 13, it is not the disciple that loved Jesus. It is the disciple whom Jesus loved. You understand what that means? You say, do you mean that Jesus gets joy out of loving me? Well, you who love someone, is there joy because of the love that you have for another and that love is returned? You say, there is nothing more precious on earth than to love? Yes. And to be loved? You say, yes. And this is the disciple not that loved Jesus. The disciple that said, I love you, Jesus, was Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Peter was the disciple that loved Jesus in chapter 21. But John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. I told you that this love is mutual. Why is John with Jesus? Why is his head upon his bosom? Because he loves Jesus. But what enjoyment does Jesus get out of John's head being upon his bosom? The same joy, if you love someone, that you derive from that person being near you and imparting to you his love. And so that is what is so important. And I want you to understand that the place that it is spoken of, the disciple that Jesus loved, is the Lord's Supper. Here is this supper. It's one that has filled the heart of Christ. And he says, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. There is this intense desire of communion and fellowship with the disciples, love, before he goes to the cross. And he has something special to tell them. He's going to tell them that the Passover in that ritualistic sense, is terminated. And now there is going to be a new remembrance, a breaking of bread and a drinking of the cup. And he desires to eat that Passover before he suffers, and he wants his disciples to enter into it. Alas, how little they entered into it, but still he wanted to eat it with them. And there was one whom he could love, who was near him, and as much as he was able, entered into that last supper, that Passover supper, and the institution of the Lord's Supper. So, remember, that these things, the enjoyment of Christ that we derive spiritually, the place where it can be derived most of all, is at a remembrance meeting. And I find that those that are genuinely born again have no enjoyment of a remembrance meeting. Why? Because the truth of your spiritual condition is brought out there. That is why. I remember one in the past, and he was able to preach and tell everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was invited to a communion service. And when he came, he was uncomfortable, he was out of order, he didn't understand it at all. Well, let me ask you, did John feel out of order, sitting next to the Lord Jesus, and leaning his head upon his bosom? You say, why no, it was a lovely experience. Well then why, when the Savior said, this doing remembrance of me, is there so little of that enjoyment of remembering the Savior? Because it exposes the true condition of your soul. That is why. Because if you come out tonight, your enjoyment of this meeting is based ever so much upon what I give you. But the remembrance meeting, when you come, depends so much upon what you bring to give to the Lord. And we come empty before the Lord. And I want you to give God something. And you want me to give God something. And we come with little. And because of that, of course there's no enjoyment there. But there have been remembrance meetings to which I visited. And there has been worship and praise and adoration. And the Spirit of God was there, and nothing was more blessed. And I had been to some that had been so depressing. And so I wonder about Jesus at his remembrance meeting, wanting those to come and lean their head upon his bosom. I wonder what he thinks when they are arguing who is the greatest, or they are not obedient to this due and remembrance of me. Do you understand? But I tell you that the enjoyment of the bosom of Jesus spiritually, the place where it can be enjoyed spiritually, the hint is given us in John 13. It was in that upper room. All right. Having told you that, that is one way. I want to tell you more about the bosom of Jesus, because in Isaiah 40, what is so beautiful there is that that shepherd is the Lord Jesus. But again, and I have to laugh, here is John 13, that's the past. And here is Isaiah 40, that's the future when the millennium comes, but still it tells us about the Lord Jesus, and the principles of our Savior in Isaiah 40 are true today. But what he expects is this, just as he, when he was on earth, was the shepherd, now he has passed on to others his responsibility that he so completely fulfilled as a shepherd when he was on earth. And he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Then what he did when he was on earth, he's going back to heaven. He says, now, Simon, son of John, you tend my flock. You feed my lamb. You feed my sheep. What he did, he expects others to do. And in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, he says about the shepherds that are among the saints of God, to do what the Lord Jesus exhorted to be done, all things necessary. And he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear. And so the Lord Jesus is still the chief shepherd, and we are underlings. We are under shepherds. And so now, what we do is to enjoy from those who feed us God's word the same joy that was derived when the Lord Jesus spoke. So, if we are not going to glean personally, we have to be where the Lord Jesus is at a remembrance meeting, or we have to be at a service where God's lamb and God's sheep are fed, And this is what it says in Jeremiah. It speaks about God feeding them with knowledge and understanding. You say, so that's what it means when it says, feed my lambs and sheep. Feed them not with fodder, not with grain, but feed them with knowledge and understanding. That is what feeding his lambs and sheep consists of. And the Lord Jesus says, Simon, son of John, if you love me, do this. Now, Lord, I love you. I want to get near you. I want to lean on your breast. He will allow that. But he says, you love me? Yes. He says, then do something for me. Feed my lambs and feed my sheep. And nothing delights the heart of God more than when his underlings, his shepherds that are under him, feed his lambs and feed his sheep. Why? Because they are dead. So we come and remember him. That's something done for Christ personally. And then he says, I love you. Now, do you love me? Then you go and do something for my people. So we do something for Christ. We remember him. And when we remember him, we will enter into his love. We will enjoy that love and that communion with Christ. How many precious thoughts have swelled and risen up in our hearts when we sat round the bread and the wine. And then, when we search the scriptures to feed God's lambs and sheep, how often has God spoken to us? How often have God's words been found? And the words were eaten, and they became unto us the joy and rejoicing of our heart. So think of those things, and think of what Christ says of himself in Isaiah 40. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And he will gently lead those that are with young. So think. Here is his whole flock. He feeds them. This is going to be Christ personally in the future. Just as he fed them on the Mount of Olives, as he gave them the Sermon on the Mount, as he fed them in the upper room, so he shall feed his flock. But he's not doing it personally now. He does it through us. But in that coming day, notice, his flock is going to be fed. And it says, he shall gather the lambs. And he shall carry them in his bosom. And it says he will gently lead those that are with young. So think, here is the flock as a whole. Here are lambs. And here are ewes with young. And he knows what to do for those lambs, those sheep that have baby lambs. He knows how to gently lead them. He knows how to reach out his arm and gather the lambs and bring them to his bosom and carry them, and he knows how to feed his flock. So I told you that the bosom of the Lord Jesus in John 13 is for a mature man, John the beloved apostle. But in Isaiah 40, the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ is for lambs. And this is the word that is used in Samuel. Samuel took a sucking lamb. And so the Lord Jesus isn't for old people like so many of us are. But the Lord Jesus is for young people. And how many young people have gone astray today? And yet the Lord Jesus is the one who with his arm, just as he will gather Israel in the future, scattered among the nations, so are young people scattered into the sins of the world. The arm of the Lord Jesus can gather them, and then he can carry them in his bosom. And when I was 19 years old, the arm of the Lord Jesus gathered me, and he carried me in his bosom. You see? In Luke 15, the shepherd found me at the lost sheep and put me on his shoulders. But also the Lord Jesus extended his arm and gathered me from sin, and he carried me in his bosom. And so I'm on the shoulders of Jesus, and I'm in the bosom of Jesus. And I can enjoy the certainty of his strength that he will carry me all the way home. And I can enjoy the love and the communion of Jesus because he carries me in his bosom. Think, he sees the young lambs. He knows that they are not able to keep up, and so he takes them and he carries them in his bosom. And there is his enjoyment of the lambs as much as the little lambs would appreciate being lifted up and carried on that difficult journey as they go through life. And so if my young people could only know that the Lord Jesus can gather them from their sins, and they can find someone who loves them in a way that no earthly person can love them, and he will carry them in his bosom as long as they are unable of themselves to take that journey. But then as they get strong, he puts them down. And just as the mothers that he leads gently that are with young, after their young have grown, then there is a different pace. And the Bible speaks in Genesis about Jacob. He says, I have to take care of the pace of my cattle and the pace of my children, my family. And God knows that. It's something like this. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He knows the pace that you can take, and he will gather you and carry you through these temptations. But then, when you get through them, he's not going to carry you and not let you get strong the rest of your life. He's going to put you down and let you walk, even though the way is rough, if you get strength. And when you do get that strength, he will rejoice. He's there. Because it says, he will feed his flock as a shepherd. He will gently lead those that are with young. And you know that word. You've heard it all your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. That's the same word. And so the shepherd leads beside still waters. If the journey is too difficult, he gathers you with his arm and carries you in his bosom. If you are thirsty, he leads you beside still waters. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, he is still there. And the Lord Jesus knows the pace that you can take. And the Lord Jesus is he who adapts your life in this world to the pace that you can take. Now, this. It specifically says the disciple whom Jesus loved was leaning upon his bosom. But then it says his breast. He leaned back as he was upon his breast. And it says in John chapter 21, the disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast. And what is so remarkable? As the word breast is that which I read to you in Leviticus chapter 10. Among the offerings, there was the wave breast and the heave thigh. And some portion of all the sacrifices except the blood of the sin offering that went into the holy place, all of the sacrifices, a part of them, came to the altar. And what God says to Aaron and his sons, the priesthood, it says, I have given as your portion and the portion of your sons the wave breast and the heave thigh. You are to eat it in a clean place. You are to eat it, your sons, your daughters. This is your portion. So what is my portion in life? My portion and all of those associated with me in the priesthood is in a clean place to feed upon the wave breast and the heave thigh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is the heave thigh for this reason. You'll find in the song that it says, God doesn't care anything about the strength of horses. It says, he doesn't care anything about the legs of man. And the word legs there is the same as wave, breast, heave, thigh. And so here is man with the strength in his legs. So if you eat the heave, thigh, you are feeding on the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you eat that wave, breast, and it says twice that John was he who leaned upon Jesus' breast, then you're feeding upon the love and the communion and the intimacy and all things like that associated with leaning on the breast of the Lord Jesus, and it is your portion. Now, when did you last feed upon the wave breast of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's your portion. God says, here is the peace offering. Some of it comes to me, and some of it comes to you. And so the Father delights in the perfections of his Son, and he says, I want you to eat that wave breast in a clean place. Think how often, in a hurry, in an unclean place, in a place that's not suitable, do we try to feed upon the wave breast of the Lord Jesus. There are special places, there are holy places. God says some of the food you have to eat in a holy place. Other food, you have to eat it, it must be at least a clean place. And the wave breast was that. And so God expects us, by meditation, by finding God's word, by making them ours, his words, He expects us to feed upon the way breath and the heave sigh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is our portion today. I say this. It would be logical to say to you, it's impossible to think that I could ever be in the bosom of the Father as the Lord Jesus was. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, and the Lord Jesus said, Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world. But the Savior says in John 17, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them even as you love me. Can you conceive of such a thing? That the Father loves us even as he loves Christ. And Christ in the bosom of the Father, because he has redeemed us and we're accepted in the Beloved, because of that, the Father loves us as he loves his only begotten Son. So, today, the bosom of the Father, we can enjoy that. The bosom of Abraham, we can look forward to that reunion when we leave this world and go into the next. And the bosom of the Lord Jesus, why spiritually, in the way that I've told you tonight, we can enjoy it all along the way. And then in the coming day, not in a spiritual way. Now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And one day, as Thomas saw and was permitted to feel, so you and I shall see him, and we shall have our privilege of being with Abraham, our ancestor, and be upon his bosom, but also with the Lord Jesus. And for a moment, we will know what it is to have our head upon the bosom of Jesus. The bosom of Abraham, the bosom of the Father, the bosom of the Lord Jesus. Let us enjoy them all. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for the portion that is ours. We would like to come and speak to you as that son from a far country came. I am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But you embraced him and kissed him and gave him the best robe and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and had a feast started in his honor. We are so thankful for this, our God. The love wherewith thou didst love Christ. You love us. You have told us that. We would not think of such a thing. And you have exalted us to the highest heaven. And we're going to be eternally with you. And we were in your thoughts in eternity. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Father, what a portion is ours. So let us be those who, as Jeremiah could say, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Let us now, Father, seek out thy word, seek out the way breast, and feed upon it. It is our portion and the portion of our children. Let us not let it go to waste, let it not be given us in vain. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.